At this point of his tales, Beelzebub suddenly became thoughtful, and after a rather lengthy pause, he sighed deeply and continued to speak thus. The next day, instead of taking the morning train as I had decided on receiving the telegram, I put off my departure until the evening. As the reason for the postponement of my departure may be a good illustration for you of the evil resulting from a certain invention of these American beings that is widely spread over all the other continents and is one of the chief causes of the continuous, so to say, dwindling of the psyche of all the three-brain beings of your unfortunate planet, I shall tell you about it in detail. This maleficent invention of the beings of America, which I now intend to explain to you, has been the cause not only of the continuous dwindling at an accelerating tempo of the psyche of all the three-brain beings breeding on that unfortunate planet of yours, but also of the complete destruction of that unique being function proper to all three-brain beings, which until the last century still arose in their presence spontaneously and is everywhere called the sane instinct to sense the truth at the heart of reality. In the place of this function, indispensable for every three-brained being, there has gradually been crystallized another special function whose action induces in them a constant doubt about everything. This pernicious invention of theirs they call advertising. So that you may understand what follows, I must tell you that several years before my trip to America, during my travels on the continent of Europe, I once bought some books to while away the long hours of a tedious railway journey. In one of these books, by a very famous writer, I read a chapter about America, in which a great deal was said about what are called the slaughterhouses in that same city of Chicago. Slaughterhouse is the name for a special place where terrestrial three-brain beings carry on the destruction of the existence of beings of various other forms whose planetary bodies they are addicted to consuming for their first being food, again owing to those abnormally established conditions of ordinary being existence. Moreover, when they carry out this manifestation of theirs in these special establishments, they say and even imagine that they are doing it from necessity and in what they call a perfectly humane way. This famous contemporary writer gave a rapturous eyewitness account of one of the slaughterhouses of this same city of Chicago, in his opinion, superlatively well organized. He praised the perfection of its machines of all possible kinds and went into ecstasies over its marvelous cleanliness. Not only, he wrote, does humaneness towards beings of other forms reach divine proportions in this slaughterhouse, but the machines are perfected to such a point that it is almost as if by driving a live ox through a door at one end, some 10 minutes later, out of the door at the other end, you get, if you wish, hot sausages ready to eat. Finally, he emphasized that this was all done entirely by these perfected machines, untouched by human hands, as a consequence of which everything was so clean and neat there that nothing could possibly be cleaner or neater. Several years after having read that book, I happened upon an article in a certain serious Russian magazine in which these Chicago slaughterhouses were lauded in the same terms. And thereafter, I heard of these Chicago slaughterhouses from 1,000 different beings, many of whom had presumably been eyewitnesses to the wonders they described. In short, before my arrival in the city of Chicago, I was already fully convinced that a marvel unprecedented on the earth existed there. I must say that I had always been greatly interested in these establishments, where your favorites destroy the existence of various other forms of terrestrial beings. And furthermore, from the time when I installed and had to deal with various mechanical devices in my observatory on the planet Mars, I always took a great interest in every sort of machine. Accordingly, as I happened to be in this same city of Chicago, I thought it would be inexcusable on my part not to take the opportunity to see these famous slaughterhouses. So on the morning of my departure, in the company of one of my new Chicago acquaintances, I decided to take a look at one of these rare constructions of your favorites. On the advice of an assistant of the chief director, we took as our guide an employee of a branch of some bank that was connected with this slaughterhouse and set off with him on a tour of inspection. First of all, we went through the yards into which the unfortunate quadruped beings are driven and where they are kept until they are slaughtered. These yards were no different from those of other establishments of the same kind on your planet, except that they were on a considerably larger scale. On the other hand, they were much dirtier than any I had seen in other countries. Afterward, we went through several what are called annexes. One of them was the cold storage for the meat that was ready. In another, they destroyed the existence of quadruped beings simply with sledgehammers, and also skinned them, exactly as is done in other slaughterhouses. By the way, in passing through this last annex, it occurred to me that this was probably the place where they slaughtered cattle intended especially for the Jews, who, as I already knew, were obliged by the code of their religion to destroy quadruped beings in a special way. Walking through all these annexes took rather a long time, and I kept waiting for the moment when we would finally reach the section I had heard so much about, and which I was determined to see. But when I told our guide that I wished to hurry on to that section, I learned that we had already seen everything there was to be seen in this famous Chicago slaughterhouse, and that there were no other sections. Nowhere, my dear boy, had I laid eyes on a single machine, with the exception of the rollers on rails, which all slaughterhouses use for moving the heavy carcasses. And as for the filth in this Chicago slaughterhouse, I had seen more than enough. In cleanliness and general organization, the slaughterhouse of the city of Tiflis, which I had seen 2 years before, could have given many points to this slaughterhouse of the city of Chicago. In Tiflis, for example, you would not find anywhere on the floor a single drop of blood, whereas in Chicago, everywhere at every step, there were pools of it. Obviously, some group of American businessmen, resorting as always to their inveterate advertising, had decided to advertise these Chicago slaughterhouses also, in order to spread a false notion of them over the whole planet, totally unrelated to reality. As is the general rule there, in this case also, they certainly did not spare their dollars. And since the sacred being function of conscience is completely atrophied among contemporary terrestrial journalists and reporters, they have succeeded in crystallizing in almost all your favorites breeding on all the continents, a monstrously exaggerated notion of the slaughterhouses of Chicago. And it can indeed be said that this was done in true American fashion. On the continent of America, the three brain beings have become so expert in this advertising of theirs that one could apply to them the following saying of our dear Mullah Nasruddin: only he will become a friend of the cloven hoofed, who perfects himself to such a high degree of reason and being that he can make an elephant out of a fly. Indeed, they have become so skillful at making elephants out of flies and they do it so often that at the present time, if one meets a genuine American elephant, one has to remember oneself with the whole of one's being, not to get the impression that it is only a fly.